This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Glad you're with us on this Friday night. We'll keep you up to date on the weather and our cancellation list as we go along here, as we've mentioned. But I thought on Friday night we'd do something positive. And, of course, I was jokingly saying to somebody else earlier today that I'm usually the last person to jump on a bandwagon. But this was kind of by design this week. Perhaps you saw a national news this week, at least the program that follows Good Morning America, that is fronted by Michael Strahan, among others, had a very special guest from the area, and they have a very important story attached. So I wanted to talk to them about all of that. They run a business called Special Needs Bakery, and it very much is special, and we'll talk about that and the trip to New York and all of that with the person who started Special Needs Bakery for her son. She's Margaret Cortez, and she is on the line from Galva. Margaret, thank you so much for your time. I can't imagine you want to keep doing interviews with the media all week long, but I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you all for having me. I appreciate it.
Very glad to have you, for sure. Let's kind of start at the beginning, because the bakery itself in Galva, it's a very interesting story on a number of fronts. Tell me about those, and first the main reason why you opened the bakery.
Okay. So I am a married mother of four boys. The oldest is 28 years old. My youngest is Frankie, who just turned 18. Frankie has special needs, and I've always been curious as to what he would end up doing as an adult. But as he's grown, he's matured so much, and he's gained so many milestones that I knew that he could do something more. So I always wanted to open a business, and I had a life change in 2018 at the very beginning of the year where I lost my job.
Yeah.
It's devastating. I had, you know, still Frankie in high school. I had a son in college. You've got your normal bills that you got to pay. You're freaking out wondering how you're going to do it. And I just had to do something positive for myself. And I was in healthcare for so many years, I was burned out. So I did a Google search, you know, what's trending in small towns. And it came back, you know, that there was recreation and physical fitness or bakeries were booming.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I kind of don't fit the bill for the Parks and Recreation girl, so I'm going to go with the bakery because mom taught me how to bake. And it just, you know, wow, how can I do this? This would be, you know, two and a half blocks from home. What can I do? And I kept sleeping on it for a couple of days, and finally I made an appointment to meet our local baker, who had just retired at the end of 2017. He's 89 years old. Beautiful gentleman. His family's been in the business for 80 years.
Wow,
Mr. Jacobson. Very well known in the Swedish communities for his Swedish rusks and dry breads. And he was done. He retired. He was done. He couldn't do it no more. Nobody in the family was able to take over the business. So we had some discussions about purchasing the business, but it ended up, he just closed it down. They got his stuff out of there. So when I met with him, I was inspired because this gentleman had lost his arm when he was a child. So he was raised with one arm, and he did all this work all these years.
Wow.
With just one arm. And I said, you know what? I have a bad back, and I get tired quickly because I'm getting older. And Frankie, you know, well, if we want to sit down, we can, because we'd be our own boss, you know. So I started, you know, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And it just kept snowballing, and everything kept kind of aligning, and things were looking positive, and talked to the building owners, the Oddfellows, and they were absolutely wonderful to me. And it just turned out that we could do it, and we started getting the licensing and the health department, you know, involved. And then we had donations from area schools for equipment. We had purchased a couple mixers from Galva High School, which I'm still using. And then I bought an oven up in Aurora. It was an old Jimmy John's oven. And, you know, you just do what you got to do. And we pulled this thing together, and I just started, you know, one foot in front of the other. I've never done this before. I've never been a professional baker. Never, you know, thought I'd really ever own my own business. But sometimes you got to jump in with both feet and say, you know what, taking a risk, you know, and that's what I did. But when I came up with the name, we talked to Frankie's administrators at the school during his independent education plan, and I told them the name that I thought of. What did they think would that be? okay to use, and they fell in love with the idea.
That's great. So it's it sounds like everything really, while you were kind of at a point where you didn't really know what was going to happen and how you were able to solve the problem of not working, it sounds like everything has so far worked out pretty well for you. Miraculously, yes. I would almost say.
That's what I said, too. You know, when you have your heart in it, and it's just something that, when people come through my door, I love it. I love serving the public, and I've been in customer service my whole life. This is just a more personal, hey, sit down, have a little sugar with me, and, you know, let's chit-chat, and we have such a good time, and it's so happy. It's a very uplifting thing to be able to do for your community. And I'm no professional. I'm trying my best, and I've had a lot of failures, but, you know, you got to keep going. And that's all I keep doing is I keep trucking ahead, and we have bad days. We have great days. Today was an awesome day.
For sure, but, for sure.
I think with all this exposure, I'm just so grateful, because I could never afford any type of advertising at this point in time. It's just me working there and make enough to just get by, you know. And this has been amazing, and people from all walks of life, people that I've known my whole life, they all saw it. It's kind of overwhelming.
Tell me a little bit about Frankie, Margaret, and how he has cerebral palsy, correct? And talk to me a little bit about that and how this kind of this life change for him has kind of affected him.
Yeah, sure. So Frankie was born, at normal age. He was maybe only 3 weeks premature, which is not too much in this day standard, but as long as they're not developed. So during delivery, there was a lack of oxygen, which created the cerebral palsy, which is, you know, damaging the brain. So on top of that, Frankie had a brain malformation, and that is called the Andy Walker variant.
Wow.
And he's lucky, because a lot of times you'll have abnormalities of the limbs, like you'll be missing limbs and things like that. But he just has a variant of it where the crossroads in the brain were affected. They didn't mature correctly, and his cerebellum, which controls your balance and your small motor skills, that was so underdeveloped, and they thought it wasn't going to grow. But they said, you know, he's going home to a good home, Margaret. Just, you know, bring him home to your boys. You guys take care of him, your husband, you, the boys, take care of your kid, and he'll thrive. And you know what? That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So it took a while for him to get the cerebral palsy actual diagnosis, because he was 5 when he got diagnosed with that, because they couldn't get a clear MRI on him.
Okay.
So, but he's had it since birth, but it was just a confirmation of what we all expected.
So let's fast forward to now. How's Frankie doing, and how is he adjusting to the working world?
It's amazing. So Frankie is a very social person. He's very comfortable with adults, because he's had 3 adult brothers, you know, mom and dad. Pretty much everybody is always around. We're older. Now he is an uncle, though, so he's got a couple little ones that he just adores. But Frankie, you know, has done so well through the Geneseo High School Life Skills Program that he excels in most areas. He still struggles with math, and it'll take a while, but he's learning, you know, and it's repetition. You got to keep doing things. Same thing with getting them to walk. It just took years, but it happened. You know, he was 3 when he walked. So we all know that it just takes a little longer, a little bit of patience, but you know what? You can do it. So there's a lawyer in town that hires him once a week to come in for an hour and shred papers. So he's a Mr. Professional. He gets his nice little shirt on and goes to work once a week. His brother owns a Subway, and he helps his brother just by cleaning the lobby and things, just, you know, an hour a week. And now he works at the bakery for me on just Saturdays, you know, or he was there today because they got out of school early. He just kind of hangs out.
There you go.
But he loves it. He, you know, he's an adult now. He turned 18, and he reminded me of that on our trip. I won't go into detail.
No kidding. He did that, huh?
I just giggled. I was like, okay then.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that.
It's so funny. Oh, it's so funny. He loves to work, you know, and it makes him just feel so much part of the community and that he's serving people. And that's, you know, that's a great thing. And he can do it, so do it.
Was that a concern of his as much as it might have been yours, that at some point that he might not be able to work and find a job?
No, I wonder. And I've talked to him about it, but he doesn't usually come to words with things like that to kind of explain his emotions. But, you know, he wanted it to be known that he was ready to work, you know. He started just volunteering up at Subway at his brother's Subway just to get some hours in, just to learn how to be in the public and you know, do a job. And it makes him so proud. During the life skills program at the high school, they go out in the community, too. So he had already gotten some skills through that, working at, like, the one of the assisted living facilities and at a gym membership place. And, you know, so he's had some exposure, and then he brings it home with him here to Galva, which is really nice.
Since you've had all this attention in the last weeks and really months, I think, have people come in just to say hi to Frankie?
Oh, absolutely. And if he's not there, they're devastated. I mean, they get stuck talking to me about the poor things, you know. So he's a shining light over there. He's affected a lot of people over the years because he went through school districts in Kewaunee, Weathersfield, Galva, and Geneseo. So he's got a big fan base. We're a big family, so we have a big fan base. And I think we're good community members. And my son also owning a business in town. So it's just really nice, you know, to just have all that. And we found the right town to move to.
Well, being from Kewaunee, I have to be careful about how much I say I like about Galva. I think it's in the rules somewhere, but I think it sounds like you guys are fantastic. That's for sure. So,
well,
I
like to praise my kids. I think they're good kids. And I think it's just a good community and all. Like,
absolutely.
You know, we have people come through that are just, they just have the biggest hearts.
I want to talk a little more about the bakery and give you a little bit of time to shamelessly plug that in a minute here. But let me fast forward to this week. You got invited to go on, I guess it's technically the third hour of Good Morning America, which is called Strahan, Sarah, and Kiki, which is also on in the afternoon. But that's another discussion. So how did that come about, and what kind of went through your mind when this invitation came your way?
Okay, so we had been working with KWTC in the Quad Cities.
Mm-hmm.
A girl had come out and interviewed Frankie and I a couple times. And her story went, I can say, maybe viral. I don't know where that limit starts, where that number starts.
Nobody really knows, but yeah.
But it went pretty crazy in this area. Well, then Fox News contacted me on their digital platform and asked could they share it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I gave them permission. They didn't change anything. They just shared the same story.
Sure.
Well, then we started hearing from people from all across Canada. And then, oh, my goodness, I heard somebody in Israel also saw it. And
wow.
Then I had family in Ireland that saw it. So it just really started exploding in our phones. Frankie and I were like, oh, my goodness, we can't keep up. This is, oh, my gosh, you know. And I was trying to respond to everybody, but I've gotten to the point now where I just put a big paragraph out and thank everybody because it's that busy. Our phones will not stop making noise, which is wonderful. It's the best feeling in the world because the people that saw this, it meant something to them, or they wouldn't take time out of their day to praise you.
Absolutely,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that whole experience of being in New York then. What was that like for you, and what was that like for Frankie?
Oh, my goodness. It was very bright. Oh, it's such a bright place. So we arrived at night. It was probably 8:30, maybe 9 o'clock by the time we got to the hotel on Times Square, I tell you.
This was Tuesday, wasn't it?
This was Tuesday, yeah. Uh-huh. So we flew out from Moline at 11 o'clock and finally got there after two flights, the late in the evening. We did our thing. We went and had a little walk through the downtown couple of blocks. There, got a bite to eat, went back, went to bed. Got up in the morning, you know, got all prettied up and went over to the studio. Well, we get there, and it's Robin Roberts' 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
So the likes of Charlie Gibson, Diane Sawyer, Sam Champion, Rachel Ray was even there. We were all in the same building I was in. I couldn't believe it. You know, it was amazing. They walked down the hallway past me. I'm like, ah! So it was amazing. That part was amazing.
So you got to see almost anybody who's anybody there in New York, and then you actually ended up being on the program itself. Talk a little bit about that part of the experience.
Okay, so after the Fox story went across digitally on all the social media pages and things, I got a phone call from a lady that works for Good Morning America, three, straight hand Sarah Cuckoo. She called me, and I was in the middle of dinner, and my phone had been pretty busy, so I let it go to voicemail. Sometimes you have to take a break. So kind of get a few bites of dinner down, and I listen to the voicemail, and I start hollering out to my husband, "Oh, my gosh, it's Good Morning America." He's like, it's a scam. He thought, you know, you're getting taken for a ride. Well, I felt like it was a legitimate voicemail. She sounded lovely, you know, called her right back. And boy, oh boy, I was in for the ride of my life then. They said that they saw the story. It touched their hearts. They had family that worked in the special needs arena. And they wondered if I'd want to be a guest on the show and bring Frankie too. And I, you get all fidgety and nervous inside and kind of overwhelmed, but it's so excited.
I bet so.
I've never felt so excited in all my life.
Well, and I imagine that probably just grew as you went through. They did a profile on you. They interviewed you and Frankie. And then, if I remember right, toward the end of the segment, you got quite a surprise.
We did. We did. They kept telling Frankie they had a small little surprise for him. They had a small little surprise for him. And they just kept, they just kept twisting him up. You know, we got something for you. And they started asking him about his golf cart that he was saving all his tip money from, anything that he was earning, he just kept saving his money. He was going to buy a golf cart, you know, and it would have to be a used golf cart because, you know, you're not going to spend a ton of money. We don't have a ton of money. So anyway, he was talking to Michael and Sarah Hickey, and Sarah had disappeared, and she went around the back of the studio. And Michael says, "Hey, Sarah, where are you at? Come on back." And this big door opens, big motorized door. And she starts beeping the horn of this absolutely amazing club car. And the model is Onward. It was gorgeous, like a nice, shiny blue, and had all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, isn't it like a Cadillac of golf carts?
Oh, it was beautiful. And so Club Car donated that.
That's great.
And we have to actually customize it for him. So okay. We don't have it yet, but I go online and I put everything that we want on that golf cart to suit Frankie, and they're covering all that for me. And I don't know exactly how it gets delivered, but I'm assuming we'd probably pick it up at a local dealership or something along those lines.
So
I have super excited.
So I have an idea of how excited you are about this. How excited was Frankie?
He was trembling excited.
Yeah.
The smile on his face that you saw on TV absolutely would just melt your heart. He was the most, like I am, the most excited you've ever felt.
Yeah.
And just, like, pinch me. Is this really happening? Because, you know, even when we got home yesterday, I was like, oh, my goodness, did that really happen? Well, there's a suitcase there. Yeah, I did go. Because it's so surreal. You know, we were so caught up in the moment anyway, and then you're expecting a small surprise, you know, if you don't know, like maybe an iPad or something.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, this massive, beautiful machine, you know. So right away, Frankie's like, "Mom, so for the Levitt Music Series in the park, I can use that, right?" And I said, "Absolutely." And like, "What about background music stuff, Mom?" "Absolutely."
There you go.
Take me with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't realize he has to drive Mom around now, right?
Correct.
All right. So I have just maybe a minute or two left here, but I imagine I imagine you couldn't, I guess, kind of going back to where we talked about at the beginning, this is probably worked out again unfathomably well for you.
Correct. It has, and it's brought together so many people from different walks of life. Like I said, I did have to spend a lot of money. You know, to me, it's a lot of money to get my business started. But the Oddfellows were wonderful to us as landlords. We had friends of friends of friends and cousins that donated equipment that you know, my cousin had lost her brother-in-law, and he was a foodie, so I got all of his stuff. And then, you know, this place over in West Chicago, Illinois, it was an old bakery.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was the Cortez Bakery. Cortez with a Z. Ours ends with an S.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they were changing it out and making it a food pantry, and they invited us out to get all the equipment that we could take out.
That's wonderful.
From all over, you know, it's just been amazing. And now the outreach is even bigger. And, you know, people said I was very inspiring, and I'm humbled by that. I don't mean to be. I mean, that's great if I am.
No doubt.
Know, I'm just being myself, and I'm staying true to my passion, and my passion is to make sure that kids brought up in a place where he can do what he can do, he can be encouraged to do more, and feel good about the end product.
I love
getting
that.
Getting that thing right out to that customer and putting it in the bag as best you can, or even eventually get them in the kitchen, you know, and get them learning how to cook. So we'll see where it all goes from here, but I got my fingers crossed. I think we're doing pretty good.
I hope so, and it sounds like you certainly are. So tell me, before we wrap up, where you're located in Galva, and tell me what's good. And are you doing a lot of the baking that the previous bakery had, or you're mixing it up a little bit?
Okay, well, I have to mix it up a little bit because I'm new to the whole practice. So
sure.
I got to stick to kind of some tried and trues, and then I start working on things in the background trying to get them right. So I do make Swedish rye bread, and I do make whiter wheat bread. I also, cinnamon rolls are a big thing. They sold out today. They're only $2 a piece, and they're fresh, and they're made with lots of love and sugar. And we make some nice dinner rolls. I have a caterer, Funhouse Catering, gets all their buns for me for their barbecue. Other things that we make are coffee cakes, brownies, muffins, things of that nature. I think everything's going pretty good.
Absolutely. So where are you located at?
We're located at 326 Front Street in Galva, and we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 6:30 to 1:30 currently.
Very good. All right. And I know you're on Facebook and things like that, so questions people have, they can find your social media page.
Absolutely. And just ask to give me a little patience because it's a lot of stuff going on Facebook right now. I'm trying to catch up to everybody.
And then you have some crazy radio guy calling you on a Friday afternoon, and, you know, it just never ends, does it?
Wonderful. Well, I loved it. I love talking with you.
Margaret Cortez, the owner of Special Needs Bakery in Galva. Again, as I jokingly say, every now and then I have to talk to somebody in Henry County so I can drive home safely and not get pulled over. But thank you so much for your time. I am so pleased to hear that this has worked out so well for you. Congratulations on all of that, and continued success to you.
Sounds real good. Well, thank you for everything, and I hope we talk again sometime. Stop by and see us.
Stay tuned. We'll continue with Galesburg's Evening News next on WGIL. And on a slightly personal note, if you've noticed, I've ended the program quite a bit lately with the words, be kind to one another. This is one of the reasons why. The Cortez family is amazing. We'll be right back.